and governments think that let's be pragmatic and work with the Taliban now together. I think it's very dangerous to do it in such a way to hand them over all the lists of the people because this really endangers them. And as we all also know, a lot of them are still inside the country. The majority of them couldn't leave. And I really fear, I'm worried about the future of these people because it's not clear what is going to happen to them. And I think it's obvious that they will be persecuted by the Taliban, they will face violence. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I really wonder who will answer. But I think it's,
Imran it might Feroz, be similar we're going to have US. To leave it there, but of course, we're going to come back to you. Austro-Afghan journalist, his new book, The Longest War, 20 Years of the War on Terror. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe. Wear a mask.
Fighting for survival is such a boring battle. Wanna get into my car, I wanna drive out to Seattle, where the used record stores have much better prices. But I don't have a car, and I don't have a license. Should I take another walk to the DMV? Get another learner's permit with a picture of me? I'd put it in my wallet along with my $4, and the condom that's still in there that is probably expired. I'd leave home for New York, but New York is where I'm from. I'm just looking for a way to feel my life has begun.
I'm Naomi Klein, and you are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
Hey, KBOO members. It's time once again to vote and make your voices heard. KBOO's 2021 annual membership meeting and board election is coming up on Sunday, September 26th, from 1 to 3 p.m., live streaming from the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. KBOO members are invited to participate in a lively discussion on how to reconnect KBOO's diverse communities after 18 months of the pandemic, the role of radio in the 21st century, and the upcoming celebration of our 54th anniversary. KBOO depends on its members to help shape its operations and programming. So show your support by casting your vote and joining this community forum. Be sure to check your mailbox for your ballot and voting information. If you don't receive your ballot in the mail by September 13th, please contact the membership department or vote online at kboo.fm. Ballots cast by mail must be received by Friday, September 24th. The deadline to vote electronically is September 19th and will reopen during the annual meeting in lieu of voting in person. If you are not a member, you can become one today by going to kboo.fm and clicking the Join Now button. Again, that's KBOO's 2021 annual membership meeting and board election on Sunday, September 26th from 1 to 3 p.m., live streaming from the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. More information about the annual meeting, candidate bios, and online voting forms can be found at kboo.fm/meeting2021. That's kboo.fm/meeting2021.
Good morning.
And how are you today?
I am well. How are you?
I'm enjoying the, I don't want to call it fall weather. I call it San yes. Francisco weather.
Okay. It feels yeah. like fall.
No, not yet.
Well.
We still got a good 3 weeks plus of summer.
Well, my body, as it went outside this morning, said it's fall.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's a luxury. I noticed that we have that some folks are not experiencing. I know other parts of the country have had their share of heat even as we speak. I guess we should count ourselves fortunate that that's all we're dealing with is just heat like that.
Yeah. the tremendous storm, Ida, has, you know, landed in its impact on the Gulf region continues, and you know, power remains out, and who knows what the destruction will be like when people are able to come out and try to reestablish their lives. So,
well, yes, that's one of the many blessings that we have here in Portland. And, you know, we look at our city and we think, well, you know, as the song says, before the grace of God, there go I. But Portland has its share of challenges, though.
Indeed, indeed.
You know, we may not have had a hurricane of literal proportions, but we have had our own hurricane and tsunami of challenges that have made Portland tremble in its foundations, made it seem inhospitable, made it seem uninhabitable, according to some people. And if you've been watching any measure of television lately, you may have seen these ads that call for people to be there for Portland. So as we prepare to talk about the outlook of Portland, where from here, Portland, we want to thank everybody first for tuning in and then for supporting, because this is your community connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM here in the metro area, 91.9 if you're in points east along the Columbia River Gorge. If you are in the Willamette River Valley, 104.3, and of course everywhere, KBOO.FM. And I'm trying to remember what the exact call letters are. I'll get them in a minute, because I want to send a kind of a shout out and a prayer to our sister station in New Orleans.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, that's it. I couldn't remember how many W's it was. It is WWOZ. Thank you to our engineer today, Ray. Thank you.
So, there has been a lot about Portland, and, you know, over the months and months and over a year, where we've had tried to live in a new existence since the twin viruses of racism and COVID and its impact on our community here in Portland as well as throughout the nation and indeed the world. And what we have, as you noted, Celeste, is that the feel, the look of the city has changed over, and you can just fill in the blank, number of years. Is certainly a different place, and whether you look at the physical appearances, the increased number of people living on the streets, the changing ways in which buildings have created new and different communities, the infilling of spaces, the transformations of neighborhoods, the inability for people to find decent jobs and housings, it has created a difference in America. And as you suggested from those television ads, there is a cry for things to change. And one thing we would like to hear from you all who are listening this morning are your reflections on the city of Portland or Oregon in general, and what changes have you noted for the best or for ill, and why is it that things are different, and what can we do about it? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Give us a call and share your perspective on where is Portland? Where are we headed?
I'm going to take a slightly different tack on that too, in that according to some of the articles we've read, it's been a number of things. Some people will complain and say, well, it's because Portland is a little too liberal in its politics. Some people will note that Portland has lost a vast majority of its black population because of everything from predatory lending, inhospitable neighborhoods and schools, low economic opportunities and outlooks. And that's not to say that happens to everyone, just to say that it is what some people are experiencing. And so there is ceasing to be a sense of belonging for many people in Portland. There's an article that I shared with you, Cecil, there where a young person says, you know, I grew up here, but I'm leaving. What were your impressions of that in terms of hearing people give a reason for why they see Portland as a dying metropolitan area?
Yes, and I also would like to comment on that with the note that all cities are changing at all the time.
Yes.
And that certainly individuals and communities change just because that's the way things are. And certainly as people age, they have a different perspective of the communities they live in, and look back nostalgically at an era that may or may not have existed, but it existed in their memory. So
existed in their bubble.
Yeah, exactly. So having said all of that, I think one of the things I got from that article was the realization that the community that this person connected with had changed, and they were unwilling to continue to live in such that community because it felt and looked different. And they thought that, you know, it's time for me to say goodbye and start anew.
All righty. So if you want to join in the conversation, give us a call. Phone number is 503-231-8187. And we'll post this series of articles on our page, so you can see all the articles we read and kind of are referencing today here on More Talk Radio. Good morning to our first caller, Gordon. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I've lived here all my life. I left 2000 to, then I came back, or I left in 90 and I came back in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And our city has changed. You know, I remember 1992, 94, somewhere in that area, I came back to Portland, Oregon from Arizona, and it was the first time I saw smog ever in Portland, Oregon. The clouds are, you know, as blue as ever. So I've seen the changes from the climate to the environment to the people and all that stuff. And so I'm against fascism. I'm against racism. It's inherent in us. Through the corporate media has ingrained it into our DNA, and we can, you know, we priest ourselves, and so we can break that. We can. It takes a lot of media to reprogram, because we can't do it on ourselves, because media controls everybody. It's what people open their doors to and allow in their homes, and they sit and watch it for hours and hours and hours. So I'll tell you what, though, Antifa, which I appreciate, they're fighting for me, but we're also dealing with Antifa's preventing business from working downtown and creating an environment. Not the only people that are creating an environment of hostility, frustration, violence. We also have the Proud Boys that are coming in from different states. They're using this place as a ring, like a boxing ring. And so we've got this aggravation. And then here's another thing, is the Republican states, the conservative states, don't care about the homeless. They don't care if people have health care. So they would allow you to die in the curb before they help you, because you need to help yourself. Portland, okay. Oregon, the liberal states, they understand life and they appreciate life and they want to help, and we don't want to see people in the gutter. So they come to us, which taxes our system, and then we also have our school system, which in turn doesn't really welcome corporate people from other states coming in, because they're really not funded really well. I mean, they're funded great, but the money doesn't seem to go to the kids. So there's a whole system that's in place in Portland that is in conflict with growth. But I think Antifa needs to chill out. Proud Boys need to be beat back into their own states. We need to really start functioning and dealing with prosecuting criminals from these transients who go to jail and they turn around and walk right out. They don't even go to jail. They go down there and sign a piece of paper. They come out and they rob our houses and
we have
to deal with capitalism.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Gordon, for your call. You know, you unpacked a whole lot of points, and thanks for your call. It's so complex. It's so complex, and so I just kind of want to take out a few points there. It's not just corporate elites that make Portland difficult to live in. It's not just the Republican politics that makes Portland difficult to live in. It's not just the fact that we've got protests in the street. You know, it's the fact that sometimes ordinary people don't care about ordinary people. Our schools, yes, they're funded, you know, both government and corporate, and they don't always seem to care about people. But it's people not caring about people. It's the way some folks feel about that also drives this whole issue of Portland doesn't seem to be as welcoming as it used to be. It doesn't seem to be like the home folks remember. It doesn't seem to be a place where people feel they can put down some roots and thrive. And I want to take a few words from this article that's in Fast Company. And it says a sense of belonging is what drives well-being, and it's disappearing. And it talks about our social connectedness driving our happiness. And after more than a year of social isolation, it's clear opportunity that we need more than we're getting. And unfortunately, if you know anything about Fast Company, Fast Company is a business magazine. So their way of looking at it was that in this year of isolation that we've endured, they are talking about a clear opportunity for brands that can build belonging. And we want to talk about, okay, that's all well and good, but if a sense of belonging is what drives well-being and it's disappearing, is that part of what is disappearing from Portland? Because not only are we dealing with the fact that you have social isolation and you have all these protests, you have disappearing small businesses. But like I said, when you look at the black population of inner north and northeast Portland, it's shrinking. It's shrinking. And you know, it's not just the fact that those were neighborhoods where you had a population feeling like, well, okay, this is where I'm going to be put, so I'm going to thrive. It's also the fact that they're not moving too many other places. We're losing folks, and they're moving out. So if you have a segment of your population saying that I can't seem to find a place to put down roots, and you have research indicating that a sense of belonging is what is separating people, What can we do about that?
So let me respond to the question by questioning the question in terms of people no longer feeling a sense of belonging. And, you know, that's, you know, existential question is one that every community faced at all times. Who are we? What are we? How do we define ourselves? How do we find a sense of belonging? And, you know, going back to what I said earlier in terms of oftentimes we are shaped by our experiences and shared common experiences, that sort of like influence how we look into the world. So I suspect that those who are, quote, coming of age in Portland these days,
have a different experience
than those who are looking back to a time where they felt things were better. So whether you look back to Portland in the 90s or Portland in the 70s or Portland in the 50s, reading things of communities, I think people feel differently because of who they are and what they experience. So for example, you know, coming to this radio station this morning, you know, I looked around and said, oh, this neighborhood has changed so much. That sort of, when I first experienced KBOO 20, 30 years ago in this funky sort of type of neighborhood, it has changed. And, you know, that working class element, it seems to be vanishing. And it's now seem more geared to coffee shops and high rises and a different community. And so I experienced that differently and look back favorably at a time when I experienced it didn't feel good all the time. But what are some of your thoughts in terms of the community and how we are changing? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. What should we do about it? Or what is your response to how our city, how our community changes?
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland 90.7 in the city, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge, that'd be Hood River, Oregon, White Seven, Washington. In Philomath, it's 104.3, and of course on the web, www.kboo.fm. I want to kind of piggyback on what you were saying. You know, another article I read about two or three weeks ago says, despite Portland's having a lot of quote unquote problems in the press, you know, with our homelessness and our protests and our dying downtown, that people are flocking here. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is something to that. It depends on what you're looking for.
Yes.
You know, and so, you know, and it's not so much of playing devil's advocate or anything like that. It's more of looking at the whole way the characterization, the life, the face of profile of Portland has changed. And is it something that is going to work for us? Maybe you've seen this ad, as Cecil and I mentioned earlier, Be Here for Portland, you know, and there are a lot of folks of color in it. There are a lot of, well, there's not a lot of young people. That's one thing I noticed. That'd be the first thing I noticed is like, where are the young people, you know, because, well, it's called succession planning, all that. But I didn't see that, and so I'm wondering, okay, if they're saying be here for Portland and they're trying to shape it and they're trying to draw in people, what is the draw? What is it that they're holding up that makes Portland wonderful? Because, you know, one of the things that Portland was known for a long time was keep Portland weird. That was markedly missing. I didn't hear, be there for Portland. I think one person might have said something or had a shirt on in one of the ads. But what is the draw then if people are still moving here, but there's not a sense of community? Or is it that I don't have on the right glasses and so I can't see the community?
I think that's a good question. Reflecting on the fact that people continue to move to Portland, what is it that attracts you to the city? What is it that makes it the city you want to live in? And, you know, perhaps we can begin with ourselves. What is it about Portland that maybe drew you here, Celeste? And what is it about Portland that keeps you here?
Oh, gosh, I'm probably the wrong person to ask because I've been here so long. And what brought me here is not here anymore. One of the things that brought me here was an arts community and the fact that it was on a river. And I spent a lot of time up in Anchorage, Alaska, and San Francisco, California. So it was, as far as I was concerned, smack dab in the middle.
Yes.
So those are some of the things, you know, that brought me here. Mm-hmm. Now, those things, the endurance of, you know, location is still here.
The river's still here.
But the arc, and the after a fashion, the Willamette's still kind of icky.
Hey, we can swim in it now.
No, you can swim in it now. No, not me, no. But, you know, the arts community and the thriving Black community is gone. Now, there is a big BIPOC community, but you have to dig and look for it. And it's not as easily accessible, which means, again, to go back to that whole thing of a sense of belonging, you got to be satisfied with the fact that maybe some of your places of comfort are gone.
Yeah. So let me ask you, because you said it very quickly, I want you to expand on it. You said the arts community is no longer here?
Well, not the one that I used to know.
Okay.
And so that's it. When I first got here, I was part of a filmmaking and video community. And I cut my teeth at Northwest Film and Video Center and worked under a couple of folks who's legend and got to do some really fun projects. And then I cut my teeth also for a while at Cable Access. And not just Open Signal, which at the time was Portland Cable Access for me, and got to do some fun projects there. One of them was bringing, I forgot the man's name. He played Venus Flytrap in WKRP. Tim Reed. There we go. Tim Reed here when he put out a movie. And then a friend of our mine and I, we used to bring first release new movies, and we used to do them at the Hollywood Theater, and we called it Shadows of Sundance. And so doing things like that, and that kind of shifted. It wasn't as prominent, and you didn't get the same access anymore. And so that was kind of a blow, but other things kept me.
Okay.
But let me give our phone number again, 503-231-8187, and invite folks to call and you know, chat about Portland. Where from here? What's going to happen? And go to our next caller. Good morning, Boris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I was really happy to hear you mention the idea that, hey, maybe people are still coming to Portland regardless of what is being portrayed in the mainstream media. And it's a thought that I've had from the very beginning. So let me speculate about that a bit.
Yes.
It would be my inclination to think that what is going on in Portland right now, while it does involve property destruction and certainly is subject to condemnation from the mainstream, it represents a sense of vitality.
Okay.
It's not stagnant. And I think given, you know, the frustration that people are feeling now with what's going on in the world, and it's like, oh my God, throw up your hands. When you see something that represents vitality and energy, even if it's rough, you know, but life is rough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life has ups and downs, but it remains interesting as long as you're participating.
Oh.
So what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, you know, it kind of seems to fit with what Cecil is saying. You know, maybe there's a new wave, a new thriving population and community growing up, and maybe we're not counting it. But
well, I think some people are.
Yeah, some people are. And maybe, I mean, you said something, mainstream and narrative, that kind of popped out of me. And I'm thinking, what about the current mainstream opinion makes it necessary to kind of dampen that story? That story that people are still moving here doesn't fit the story they want to tell. You know, they made me flip the script, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, I would differ in terms of what I heard earlier in terms of things aren't thriving, that there isn't a vital, for example, arts community. You know, I went to a friend of mine who's a photographer and their gallery, and things are happening in many different ways, and maybe we need to, as Boris suggested, understand where that vitality is and participate. What do you say, Boris?
Yeah, I the key word that I wanted to emphasize is vitality. It, you know, people are, they're acting out, they're doing things, as opposed to retreating into a little cubbyhole like is want for a lot of people, who just, you know, they say, oh my God, just I want to go back to the cubbyhole. But when they see people that are actually expressing themselves, and you know, it's not all positive for sure. I mean, there's things that happen that maybe could have happened differently, but it's the process, it's the vitality, it's the engagement that I think people on whole find attractive.
Okay. Well, first, thank you for calling in, because it's good to hear that people feel like it's not dying, because as you mentioned, the prevailing narrative, the prominent narrative, is that the city is dying. And then there's the subtext, which is some people who used to be here a long time are feeling pushed out or don't know how to put down roots. But you're saying that it's maybe us revitalizing ourselves and pushing down new roots and changing and putting on new leaves on the trees. Okay. Well, thanks for your call.
Sure.
You're listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland 90.7. You know, to kind of support what Boris was saying, like I said, there were a number of articles I read that also said, well, wait a minute, hold on, people are moving here. And the Willamette Week, there was an article that says, welcome to Portland. Why would anyone move here? And so you've got five people, and, you know, two of them are folks of color, a young Asian man and a young black woman. I think he is from Miramar, and she was from Kentucky. There were also arguments about some of the people who had picked, because they said, well, yes, these are upscale folks. Now, not everybody was young, you know. They had a fair age range, you know, from at least 25 until older than that. But it was not missed that, you know, in some of the comments I read, you know, later on, yeah, you found five people who had money and could get up and move, and that's not necessarily the typical millennial. So, you know, even though somebody found people coming in, somebody's still going to fuss about it. But the point is, these were people who moved in here and had something positive to say about the city.
Right. And, you know, I would also argue for, and it's not as if I'm I'm being paid by Portland Business Association or anything like that. But I would affirm the resiliency of communities and how people continue to create, to build, and find ways in which to thrive. You mentioned in terms of the recognition that Black population has shrunk in the Northeast Portland. However, at the same time, those communities that have been pushed out of the inner core of the city have found ways in which to create community in looking in East County and Gresham. You have a very diverse immigrant community that is vital, and there are so many ways in which maybe those who are not in the vision of the mainstream are doing things, creating community, building new ways of being and thriving in ways that are outside of the visioning, the vision of mainstream society. So I would say that things are happening in very different ways. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187.
I was just trying to get in sync with you. And please, you know, we want to hear from younger people, new people who've moved here, you know. And if, you know, help kind of give your reason, support your reason, get your idea out there about why Portland is a thriving city, or why Portland is in the throes of change, or Portland is dying. Let's hear your thoughts. Let's go to our next caller.
Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm calling. I like the conversation, but it is again emphasizing how Portland is unique. And I think what you need to address are some of the global trends that don't leapfrog over Portland because of how special and unique Portland is. And one of those would be the normalization of homelessness and how that is an outgrowth of the changing of the housing industry into a hedge fund or capital holding fund investment speculation instrument. And there are international movements, even in Canada, which has far more of a social safety net than we have. There is tremendous problems with normalization of homelessness as an outgrowth of housing. It's not supply and demand, as we're often told, that there's a lack of housing. There's a lack of affordable housing because the ownership has been concentrated, and the money from that ownership rarely flows into Oregon pockets or California pockets or Washington State pockets. It's going to these large global investors. And there was a movie that was made on Swedish public television. It's in English, though, and it was about to open in 2019 when pandemic hit, because it had done very well on the international film festival circuit. It's a film called Push, P-U-S-H. And I'd recommend everybody go online and stream Push. I was hoping KBOO would run it as a Clinton Street Theater fundraiser, but that was just as it became impossible to get people together. But this is something no one is addressing. Not even our alternative media is looking. And there are international groups like Make the Shift. Yes. If you go online and look for a group called Make the Shift, led by a former UN rapporteur on the global housing crisis. Her name is Leilani Farha. You know, we just don't have access to seeing what these global problems are, and every community is hooked on thinking they can solve the normalization of homelessness, they can solve their housing crisis. No, this is going to require a national program.
Excellent. Very good point. I think you raise in terms of looking the international, the global perspectives and things how they are all related. And so your observation in terms of looking at how our economy has developed and the impact it has on not only your particular community, but nationwide, and things that we can do to address those global problems. And you,
yes, Cecil, and how it interacts, such mm-hmm. that something else we can't look at as a global phenomenon and crisis is wage stagnation,
yes.
that for 50 years has required the wage slaves among us, even the salaried among us, to not be earning enough to pay what the changing of housing into a speculative investment instrument has done to rents.
And we haven't even mentioned climate crisis.
Well, I want to get back to something you just said, Mitch, and this is something Cecil and I have I've been digging, trying to find some folks to talk about that, and that's this whole idea of housing as a speculative enterprise, you know, and the fact that if you're dealing with housing, and say if you go to I'll make up a name, We House You Inc., and say We House You Inc. is a multi-state realty company, you will find that their prices when you look at the apartment on Monday may be different from the prices if you go back and look again just the next day, Tuesday. If you ask them, they say, oh, we adjust our housing prices daily. Mm. And that is that's using housing as in much the same way that you do with stock and futures. Mm-hmm. You know, it changes. And I feel like if we're going to have multi-state corporations running housing like you just mentioned, that they cannot speculate, they can't change the prices, they can't commodify a basic human need with no kind of regulations. Now, what about the small mom and pa? Well, you know, we got to figure out how we're going to do it too with them, because they're small businesses, but still they have that one thing that everybody needs, and that's shelter. And we have a way of, like you just said, commodifying shelter that makes it difficult for a human being to survive.
But the ma and pa's haven't cornered the market.
No, they haven't, I agree.
What mm-hmm. we're seeing if we walk around the city, and I know, Celeste, you have the eye of a cinematographer, so you do walk around the city, is that while we're fed this news from the corporate captured media, which KBOO is gratefully exempted from, that there is a supply and demand problem, the fact is there's been a building boom of
yes.
unaffordable luxury. They call them market rate, but nobody earns enough in Portland except
yes.
for a tiny little professional class to afford it. So what we find are these new buildings right along the homeless camps.
Yes.
One of them is called Tempo. They're brand new luxury apartment buildings, and they look mostly vacant.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, how can that happen in Portland? Well, you know what? It's happening all around the world, not just in the major cities like London and Rome and Paris and Amsterdam. It's happening even in the modest cities.
Mm-hmm.
There's an academic at Columbia. We can't get her on TV news sourced, but her name is Saskia Assassin, and she has been studying this trend of the financialization of housing mm-hmm. and wage stagnation and migratory trends of
mm-hmm.
immigrants and refugees. And she makes it simple to understand, but she's persona non grata on American news. So you
mm-hmm.
have to go online and look on YouTube and see how, because she speaks in Italian and she speaks in other languages, we can get it on YouTube. Either she'll
speak in English. What's her name again?
Because
I want
to... Her first name, she teaches at Columbia University. Her first name is Saskia, and her last name is Sassen. And she also is sourced in that Swedish film Push that is in the English language and can be streamed online.
Yes, I see her. Okay.
And I have been sending out on my media discussion group in an email newsletter called the Lalo Studios Media Discussion List, I've been sending out links to her talks that are like 20 minutes, half an hour. They're not something that a working person would be too tired to turn to, because it affects how working people who have felt they are the failures, they are not the working
no,
people.
No, working
are
people
the
are
failures.
Not the failures. Mm-hmm. No, not at all. I totally, yeah.
You know, this mm-hmm. has caused an additional interlinked problem of mental health crisis.
Okay, so one of the things that you just hit upon, again, that we've been weaving through this kind of conversation is the whole mental health, which goes back to that whole thing that I referenced out of that Fast Company article about a sense of belonging.
Yes.
You know, it does have a profound effect on people's ability to assimilate in an area. But let me, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time, and I wished that we did. But I want to quickly reference this article about the black population in Portland shrinking out of inner northeast and what have you. Over the, I want to say, past few years, there's been at least 500 new affordable rental housing units that were built in inner north and northeast Portland. Yet, and they give some measure of preference to former people who've been pushed out by gentrification. Yet we don't seem to get that vital sense again of a community that helps give people a sense of belonging and diminishes their whole mental health. So it sounds like on one hand you're pointing out, just like our earlier call, I think it was might have been Boris, who said, no, there is churn, but it's change and it's growth. It's not just decay. But I want to say, is it enough to balance out the negatives then? But you know what? Can you leave your information with our engineer? Because I want to connect with you some more on this movie, Push. You're the third person, I think, that's mentioned it to me. So I'm going to take that as a cue that maybe I need to look a little deeper.
Also look in your KBOO inbox, Celeste, because you're on my list for the media discussion list email newsletter I send out.
Okay.
There's usually a link in there to Push.
Okay, I'll look for that. Thank you so much for your call.
And thank you for listening and for providing the references. I agree with you about Fast Company and that we have to be more sensitive to where we're getting our news from, because there are messages.
Oh, yes, they're about industry and not necessarily including all of us small people. But I still like, you know what they say about keep your enemies close.
Absolutely. And thank you.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. And the phone number is 503-231-8187. And good morning, Joan.
Hello. I was very happy to hear the last gentleman talk. I feel that he's saying everything that's absolutely true. And there's one story that I'd just like to put out there. I know plenty of people who are in the low income category, including myself. I know a person who was looking for an apartment to rent, mm-hmm. who could afford what's called market rate. She could barely afford it, but she needed a place. So mm-hmm. she thought she would apply for an apartment. So she had to pay, of course, what they call an application fee, mm-hmm. where they do something on a computer for 2 seconds. That was $50. Right. And then she had to pay $300 for what was called a pre-contract. I said a pre-contract.
Oh, wow.
She had to sign what's, this is Portland. She had to sign a pre-contract before she was allowed to look at the apartment. They showed her a picture of the apartment and said, well, if you want this apartment, the only one we've got, you know, she liked the building, okay, you have to pay $500 to sign this pre-contract. But if you pay in 24 hours, it's a deal. It's only $300. How about that?
That is so frightening.
Listen, this is it gets better. She had to sign the thing, pay the $300, and then they showed her the apartment, and it was not what was in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
too small. There was no storage space. She didn't like it. Okay? Now, who rents an apartment for $1,500 a month? Well, I can't even imagine that without seeing it. And then when she said, well, I'm sorry, this, you know, it looked good in the picture, but this will not do. Do you have any others? They said no, even though they own buildings all over town. They have no other apartments she could look at, and they refused to give her that $300 back.
I hope she took them to court, or better be secure.
She went to the attorney general whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they have an office you can call. You know, I don't think she's going to sue. It's not like she has a lot of money to do this. So this is not only happening to low-income people, like everybody, including her, really. This is happening to people who can afford the apartment.
Wow. Well, you know,
while you rent an apartment, even if you have the money, and meanwhile these people are, you know, people are of course going to refuse apartments, and they're pocketing $500 here and $500 there. This is a ripoff.
A pre-contract. Wow.
A pre-contract. So she went to the internet, looked at it, mm-hmm. and there in big red letters it said, "If you sign our pre-contract, you will not get your money back." So much so.
Oh, so they didn't. They didn't even tell her. You know, companies can say that.
They did tell her, but you know, when they print it like that in big red letters, the idea is, well, you knew what you were signing, right?
So let me.
But she had no choice. She had no choice. Did she need an apartment or not?
So she had to sign the pre-contract before she could see the.
No, who heard about it? Do you sign a pre-contract when you get your car fixed? Yeah. When the car's fixed, you pay.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying.
The car, right? You still got to. I mean, never heard of such a. This is the so-called real estate market in Portland, and the whole thing.
Well,
is
this is not just Portland.
Correct.
This is not just Portland.
I got it.
And you know, one of the challenges is these organizations will tell you, well, this is how it's done now. I mean, when I wanted to renew my lease, I was told, well, people look at these apartments and they rent these apartments and they never see them. And this was about 5 years ago, I was told this. And so the challenge is, well, how do people, they go online. Well, see, not everybody is carrying a computer with them, you know, a smartphone or whatever. So, yes.
Not everybody has a computer. Not everybody is, do you need to have to be a computer expert to rent an apartment? I mean, this is so outrageous. And I would suggest to everybody who has any kind of investment in anything, to check the prospectus of your mutual fund and see what you're invested in, because these people are buying up properties all over Portland, all over Oregon. They're buying Oregon. One of the companies is called American Homes for Rent, the number 4. See if you're invested in it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, call the investment company and say, hey, I'm a shareholder and I don't like what I'm invested in. You know, people need to, I mean, this is outrageous. And what they did in Berlin some years ago, I understand, was the social unrest was so bad that they decided to roll everybody's rent back to whatever the price was before this started happening.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. There are people with a heart out there. Yeah.
Yeah. I thank you for giving us a platform to express this, because whatever my friend does with her case or whatever it is, people need to know this. This is outrageous. We should not, you know, what does it take for people to just refuse to play this game? But you have to live somewhere, or they point to the homeless people and say that could be you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Or it's like the mafia. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for the platform. I appreciate it.
So, I mean, we're not going to solve any problems here by just talking about it here on More Talk Radio, but what we want to do is just get people to talking, to get some of these ideas to percolate to the surface, and get people who care about this connected so that they can get some critical mass. Housing is a big problem here in Portland. Even so, people are still moving here, which implies to some measure they're getting some kind of housing, at least for a while. Because if you talk to some of our unhoused, some of them came here for jobs, but the job didn't pay enough for the housing, and so now here they are, the working unhoused. How do I know that? Because I have friends that work in the entertainment, hospitality, you know, sector. Waiters, bartenders, et cetera, wait staff, et cetera. And they will talk about this. He said, I live in my car. I can't afford rent. I got the job I was promised, but not the wages I thought I'd get. And so people are moving here, and they're finding that community may take a different form than what they thought. The conversation is, while it seems to be a little bit all over the place, the fact is it talks about the many things that people want when they come to a community and what people want when they come here to Portland specifically.
Let's have Jeremy share his perspective.
Cool. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hi, I live right near the aforementioned Tempo building. There's another one. They're right next to each other. I think they're owned by the same,
Okay, which building?
I could take you off speaker. Maybe I won't.
Okay, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Phone, I'm scared I'll get disconnected. Right. Anyway, I live at 16th and Cooge. These buildings
okay.
are between 15th and 13th on Burnside.
Yeah.
Tempo is grotesquely modernist colored. Mm-hmm. The person said they were basically empty. That's not quite true. Tempo is, I'm told by people that live there, I meet them in the dog park over near Benson High, that Tempo is 70 to 80% full. Mm-hmm. The one behind it though is the guess is 15% full. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for this. There's a statement or whatever, a law of real estate, which is price cures everything. And Tempo, I own one rental unit, and I'm always looking at this modern construction. I go tour them, and I try to see, I have an 1,150 square foot apartment for rent. The biggest in any of these buildings is about 950 or 990. They charge pet rent, and they charge parking, which I'm not even counting.
Mm.
But when they were building the first one, Tempo, they wanted $2,400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
For 1,000 feet.
Well,
now the reason it's starting to fill up is they're offering a minimum of 2 years free rent. I'm sorry, not 2 years free
two
rent.
Years?
Two months
free rent on a year lease,
mm-hmm.
which gets the rent down to about $2,000 a month, which is still
about, that's high.
No, it's quite high. It's quite high, and I mean the particulars of what's going on here. Are continue to give me a headache. Some evil West Hills developer who, excuse my obvious prejudice, but when he shows up in his DeLorean wearing alligator shoes, I think it's fair to consider him to act like a Russian mobster. His homes in the West Hills are...
Don't be so mean to Russians now.
his homes are in the West Hills are notorious for looking a lot better than they live in,
yeah.
And people are not happy with them. Anyway, he buys the block, between 16th, on 16th between Cooch and Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
His plan was 5 years ago. We've had an empty lot for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Was to put up 35 one bedrooms, and
how many square feet?
Probably 600, 550 to 600,
yeah.
and get 1,600 a month for them.
Mm.
Well, he woke up and smelled the coffee and realized that there's huge amounts of this crap, and no one can or will afford to rent it. So he's just decided he paid $1,100,000 for the half the block. He's got it on the market for $2.9 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this. I think what happened is in 2008, Obama and Geithner, who are both much wealthier now than they used to be, mm-hmm. Obama just bought a palace on Martha's Vineyard for $50 million. He didn't have any of that kind of money. He decided not to send any bankers to jail, because Bush had to send bankers to jail.
Okay, we only got a few seconds left here.
So mm-hmm. he didn't send any bankers to jail, and my punchline is they have figured out, they have new financial instruments. They don't really have to fill these buildings up. Somehow they're going to flip them, and they're going to do all sorts of stuff, and we end up, paying the bill.
Indeed.
There's no penalty for losing in this speculative market because, they're going to get bailed out. And I think that, in the absence of lots and lots of renters and homeless people, in my case, a homeowner who has one rental apartment, marching.
Okay.
And saying, this isn't okay.
Okay.
Anymore.
We're going to have to thank you for that. Okay. So, yeah. You know, as with any city, you've got a lot of underground topics commingling and sometimes bubbling to the surface. But in the end, as we've talked, we hear that housing and a sense of belonging are key things that both seem to cause people to leave Portland as well as draw them to Portland. So maybe what will become of Portland is, as Boris said, it'll churn and change.
Indeed.
Like any city does.
In the meantime, we hope you continue listening to KBOO.
Yes, support your community. Connection KBOO Portland. This has been More Talk Radio. I am here with Cecil Prescott. My name is Celeste Carey. We want to thank you for listening and supporting us as your independent, homegrown, Portland-based media center. We will hear you next week.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM online.
Estás escuchando KBOO Portland por el 90.7 FM y transmitiendo en línea a través de KBOO.FM.
Hello, I'm Eugene Rashad.